Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Legendary Frogcast. I'm your host, Joseph Blanchett. With me is Dustin Watts.
Hiyo!
And Randy Keepers.
It doesn't make any sense to me that Golizopod is a grass-type Pokemon. I know it's bug water, but what is this?
I know. What were they thinking? Come on, game designers.
I mean, this is also the same company that basically... This is also the same game that gave us a living ice cream cone. As a Pokemon, so I mean, anything is possible.
Welcome to part 7 of our podcast series about why Pokemon Sword and Shield suck.
No, I didn't say Sword and Shield suck. I just said Pokemon is bug nut crazy. They ran out of ideas years ago, and so they're just throwing everything at the wall.
Gigantamax, more like the Giganta sucks.
I was gonna say, I love how we went from I love this train of conversation that we were having where it was just a model train just chugging on down the street, and then suddenly I slapped that shit right off the track.
Well, as much as
tell the people why we're really here. Tell the people why we're really here.
I mean, I have a confession, I don't know really anything about Pokemon anymore.
I'm like 2 or 3 generations behind, so I don't feel bad.
Like the last game I played is the one they're remaking for Switch, like this year.
Yeah, that same here.
Oh man. Well, after the podcast, after the important stuff, I'm gonna show you guys a picture of my favorite Pokemon, my current favorite Pokemon, because it used to be Gengar, but now it's not. Because then I found, oh boy, the best. But why are we here, Joey? Tell the people why we're here.
Why else would we be here? We're talking about the new Marvel Cinematic Universe television show on Disney Plus, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, baby.
Yep.
I mean, we're 2 for 2 so far.
We're doing all right, I think. I think we're doing a good job.
So I have one thing to ask, though. Especially during WandaVision, when like the MCU was like back, you know? Whenever you hear like the Marvel theme over the logo, did you just start like singing along to it like it was an old friend returning?
Yeah.
Kind of. I was like, yes, MCU, you're back. And we got a Shang-Chi trailer and all this stuff. It's like you never left.
Well, we got about a month break before the next bit of MCU goodness.
Yeah, we got a few more weeks till Loki. Let's talk about that Shang-Chi trailer first.
I just haven't seen it. I don't watch trailers.
Okay. What do you think, Randy?
Well, I think it's cool. I think it's really cool.
Pretty cool.
I'm very excited for it, and because I love martial arts flicks anyway. They're my favorite. They are my absolute favorite. I love watching them. They're fun, they're silly, and they're just entertaining. And that's always been like what films should be to me, is that like at the end of the film, were you entertained? Now, were you entertained? You know, are you laughing? Are you crying? Were you excited? You know, that's all well and good, but at the end, were you entertained? And so, and I feel like martial arts flicks have always ticked those boxes for me at every time I've seen them. And I feel like the combination of cool Marvel nonsense and cool martial arts nonsense and mashing it together, I'm probably gonna love this movie more than it'll make me forget about Iron Fist. That's what it'll do.
Oh, God.
That's what I want. I would like to forget Iron Fist is what I would like to do with this movie. I'll go into it and go, yeah, the protagonist isn't getting beat up all the time. The supposed master of martial arts isn't jobbing for 20 minutes before he realizes, man, I should probably throw a punch. Anyway.
I mean...
Which came first, Iron Fist or Shang-Chi?
Let me look at my lore.
Let me check my memory.
Let's see here.
This is always good when Dustin tries to remember things. Go ahead.
Okay.
My guess is Iron Fist.
I would actually, I'd probably say Shang-Chi, but.
Holy crap. Guess what, Dustin?
What?
You are correct.
Okay.
It, yeah. Shang-Chi did appear first. He appeared about 2 years before Iron Fist.
Yeah,
did.
Shang-Chi sounds, I mean, they sound like Golden Age, both sound like Golden Age nonsense characters.
Yeah.
But Shang-Chi sounds like something that would have come first.
Because, like, in my mind, they did, like, they would do Iron Fist first because you're selling to, like, white Americans.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you think.
And then, like, you probably hear some feedback saying, you should probably do a martial art comic about, like, an actual, like, person from Asia or whatever.
Oh, they didn't care about that back then.
Yeah, although, but I was going to say they didn't because when Shang-Chi was introduced, his dad was literally named Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
And he was very much a racist depiction of...
Okay, so he wasn't the man in the...
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't the Mandarin. They're changing a lot of things for the comics.
They have to, by necessity.
Yeah, they do. Because the way it was originally introduced probably wouldn't fly in today's world. So,
it is that blatant racism of the 1960s that just...
Yeah, it was 70s, but yeah. 70, yeah.
60s, 70s, but, you know, that era.
Yeah, just, it was a little broad strokes there, bud. But yeah, for sure.
It's a movie they made to cover up the MCU's greatest shame of making the Mandarin a joke in Iron Man 3.
Dude, right? And I'm really liking how they
I liked that twist, but I do agree that that was kind of a waste. I'm glad they're kind of backing up on that.
They're not really backing up because they've. I mean, they kind of.
They've already addressed it. They've already addressed
saying,
it.
Yeah, saying, "Hey, he was just using that name
to be scary." And then, like, there was that special feature where, when he went to prison, you know, when the fellow went to prison, for the events of Iron Man 3, he had, what is it? He had.
The interviewer was like a Ten Rings guy.
Yeah, it was a Ten Rings guy, and he was like, "You know, the real Mandarin knows about what you were doing, and he's not exactly happy about it."
Yeah,
and so yeah,
I hope he shows up. Should probably move on. But are those shorts on Disney Plus? Because I tried to look for them.
I don't know. I can't find them. But I also
maybe they're like maybe they're like under the movies in the DVD they were in, but like they're not just their own thing. That was for Winter Soldier.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, speaking of Winter Soldier and his friends, such as Falcon, let's talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier, the second MCU show on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And basically the fourth in the Captain America series.
Yeah, but it's practically a continuation of Captain America's storylines, the characters.
Yeah, yeah, it is effectively, and it does end up being.
Spoiler! By the way,
yeah, it does end up being that way because it's. Well, I mean, you get into it expecting a Captain America story anyway. I mean. Chris Evans's shadow looms at every frame that shield is in, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't
have space on it, you know.
Yeah, you know, might as well. It's like a.
Well, I'm sure his shadow looms pretty well since he's supposed to be on the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cute. That's cute. That's cute. But anyway, so yeah, let's. I guess we could start from the start to get a purchase on this because we got a big old box to unpack here. So,
timeline wise, this takes place about 6 months after the blip.
Yep.
So it's after WandaVision, but before Far From Home. Spider-Man Far From Home. And we learn more about, like, what some of the characters have been up to. Like Sam rejoined, rejoined the Air Force. Mm-hmm. Bucky's trying to make amends for all the guilt he's carrying for being the Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. We learned some more about like what the blip was like,
which wasn't pleasant for a lot of people.
Yeah, which was played off as kind of a joke in Spider-Man by like WandaVision and this. We're like, no, actually, it was pretty traumatic. All these people coming back, and that was actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're introduced to the Flag Smashers, which is this quote-unquote terrorist group, at least at the start, who preferred the world during the blip when mm-hmm. people's borders were more open and accepting of outsiders.
Everyone was a refugee, and everything was going crazy for him.
So tell me about Flag Smasher, because apparently he was a character in the comic, but
in the comic, he was basically a jobber. He'd show up a little more often, but he didn't really. Yeah, he was there for a paycheck. He's kind of a forgettable villain. That's why he wasn't like,
well,
you know, he's no,
not literally, he's, but he had some. His ideals were basically the same.
Yeah, his ideas were basically the same. But it was like, it was at a time where the arbitrary worship of countries and borders, that was his thing. Where he was just like, oh no, we're just gonna have to all come together because, you know, a world with no nations is a powerful world because everyone's in it together, and you know, everybody, there's none of this nonsense of, you know, I'm looking out for me because I'm the only person who exists in the world, you know, we
just so you know, Flag Smasher was a villain.
He was
of his time.
Yeah, yeah, he absolutely was a villain. And a gigantic product of his time. And yeah. In the comics I can't say that he's not important because he's still part of Captain America history, but he's so like not important.
So he's like, "Hey Captain America, man who wears a flag."
Yeah, idiot.
I'm a person who hates flags.
Flags are stupid. That's why I wear a shirt that is so.
His outfit is literally like a flag with an X through it. It's like,
yeah. It was. It's just this magical nonsense that we're looking at.
So I don't know. Maybe it's an improvement what they did. For the MCU.
I'll have to agree with that, because it is,
actually took his, the rhetoric they used for Flag Smasher in the comics, and actually went, no, but really, what if someone actually believed this, and wholeheartedly believed this, and went through with it, and wasn't just, you know, a complete jobber?
Yeah.
Carly was more... I mean, they call themselves Flag Smashers, but they were more about, like, open
uniting
borders.
Uniting people, opening borders,
people,
yeah.
And stuff, and, like, so I think the name that they took just because it was a, you know, a name of a villain, they thought it would be clever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I watched First Avenger recently.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen it in a really long time. There's a point where Red Skull goes, like, "In my future, I imagine a world with no flags." And Steve is like, "That's not my future." Implying, like, yeah, having nations is still okay. It's like, you just, like, you know, don't build a wall.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because I feel like, and this is just me being me about all this stuff, is that it's just a matter of there being too many people in the world to be governed by just one main body. And, like, it just wouldn't... It isn't feasible to me.
Well, yeah.
Look at
the state of the UN.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the thing is that everyone is still... Everyone is still independently run from each other, though. You know, they're still, there's no, like, one voice that everyone has to be beholden to. There is a, you know, it's a big old committee, you know.
In a lot of ways, yeah. The Flag Smashers in this are like, Thanos was right. People, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if they were that specific.
No, they were. Oh. They were like that, though. They were like that.
Oh, they did.
They were just saying like things were better when the blip was happening because everybody was a victim. Everyone had a united cause.
Yeah.
Everybody was struggling together, and that we, you know, because we were all struggling together, that we,
we're,
you know,
struggling
we were
against each other.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like they didn't go into a bunch of this in like the movies and all that, but if you listen to the commentary and all saying. Like, you know, with half the people gone, a lot of people just abandon, like, slowly people abandon these small towns that kind of conjure, like, larger cities.
Yeah.
So there would be, like, people around. And, I know, like, in WandaVision, it takes place after the blip, but, like, the town Wanda goes to is kind of like a rundown place and all that.
Yeah.
And I was imagine it's like, yeah, during the blip when, like, half the people disappeared, a lot of people probably left. And,
yeah.
And when people come back, like, that place was just, like, a rundown, not rundown, but, you know, it's just kind of an unkept little suburb with, like, hardly any people living there, and they're all depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right on the money.
But, like, Carly.
Yeah.
It went like a few episodes when she's like properly introduced. It's like, yeah, people came together because they had to work together in order to rebuild this society and the people that could do that. You know, we had a better life. So when everyone came back, it's like they were like, sorry, this new world you built, you're not part of that world. You have to go live in these camps, basically.
Yeah, yeah, because
you don't have a home anymore.
Yeah, because your home is, and, you know, and, like, I can, the thing is, like, I can totally see, like, 500% where they're coming from. Like, they're, some of their ideas, they're not too crazy to me. You know, they're not that crazy to me.
No, that's one of the positives of this show is that there's no one out, there's no one completely out at the edge on this. Everybody's point, everyone's view has a, you can see where everybody's coming from. You may not
except
agree with
that, it. I mean, but kind of, to me at least. Because, like, Carly, she does so much goalpost moving that her ideals and, like, her motivations, they don't ever really change, thank goodness. But she becomes harder to relate to because, like, she doesn't exhibit any... Okay, like, she doesn't exhibit any traits that, like, someone who you would consider a leader to be, you know? She doesn't do anything that comes off as leaderly other than that she's the one who says their catchphrase the most and talks in a very soft-spoken voice all the time, right? But she doesn't ever do anything that seems like it's threatening. So, like, her people who are following her, they're like, yeah, we're following you for reasons, you know? and so, like, that was one of my problems, at least with her, is that she didn't seem... Her motivations are super relatable. Like, I totally get where she's coming from, but she didn't really have any of that conviction that other characters show.
Like, pretty much everyone else on the show had conviction.
Yeah. And when she does show conviction, it's wholesale murder of innocent people. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
I mean, it's like,
okay,
girl, we wanted you to show some conviction, but holy crap, you gotta point that in the right direction.
Yeah, she's just like...
When, like, that one character says, like, I think you could be Captain America. I'm like...
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, oh. I don't think you could, though.
Like, to be completely honest, I think the Flag Smashers were the weakest part of the show for me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they were...
I can understand their reasoning, but, like, all their actions, they're like you said, like, moving the goalposts. Like, oh, we're going to kill a few people, kill a bunch of people, kill an entire Senate of this, whatever the group is called. It's like, it's all worth it because...
Global Relocation Relocation Council, or GRC.
Repatriation Council.
Global Repatriation Council.
And it's kind of an... They all but confirmed that there was a plot line in this show about a pandemic that they kind of had to write around since, you know, when they were finishing the show, we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Because
there's a lot of, like, ADR around a lot of the Flag Smashers dialogue to each other. You can tell probably there's a lot of reshoots.
I have a feeling that a pandemic was supposed to be more part of the...
There was a pandemic that happened after... Because if you just blip a bunch of people out of existence for 5 years, and then they suddenly come back, some of those people, they probably had some sickness or some illness that hasn't been seen in a while, and
because
just something shown up.
Maybe they cut it out of, like, WandaVision 2. Maybe there was some mention of it, but other people came back and some of them got sick. But, like, apparently, like that woman who died, that was, like, her mother figure was like, you could tell it was ADR that she died of, like, something else. But it was probably that pandemic that's been spreading around those encampments. And that's why they're getting vaccines in, like, episode 2. So I don't know how much that would have changed, like, the overall plot, but I think it kind of muddied some of the reason behind what they're doing a little bit, because they just couldn't be as clear. And, like, into the fact that even some of the super soldier serum stuff, I think, was changed to kind of, like, replace this other storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really hard to say because, like, you don't know what the original plan was. But, like, rumor kind of has it that this pandemic was, like, a man-made thing that came out of a Madripoor power broker. And they kind of changed it to be more about the super soldier serum, not the...
It's Madripoor.
Madripoor, yeah.
Okay, well. I'm a little over again when I mispronounce kaiju names. the Flag Smashers were the weakest part for me.
I'll agree to that.
Yeah, but we did introduce to a new character, John Walker.
John Walker.
Okay.
Talk about being at the opposite end of the pole from Flag Smasher.
Oh, dude, the thing is, Wyatt Russell. First of all, I wanna open with this. Holy shit, Wyatt Russell, you did such a good job! Like, holy cow,
he was a standout character.
What's that?
He was a standout character.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Wyatt Russell knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, he was great. I love him like this. Because, like, you know, I was really disappointed to see people on the internet, like, apparently he was getting, like, death threats and stuff. And I'm like, no. He's playing a villain, and he's playing, it was more like an anti-hero now. You know, he's an antagonist. You know, he's an antagonist in this because he
works contrary to
the
hero.
Yeah, he's a hero and antagonist, they're not always the same thing. Protagonist and hero are not always the same thing. But boy, oh boy, he did such a great job at being exactly as slimy as he needed to be, as deceptive as he needed to be, and he, he was perfect. Like, he was so good. Because he was such a great, like, I know you guys don't like me being here, but, you know, you're just going to have to deal with it. You know, that's kind of an attitude or a way to play. It's like so impressive how good he was at it. And like you could easily see where he was just a dude trying to do his best, you know, in a job that was being expected of him by people.
He was so far out of his league.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he, you know, he may have been a Captain America, in the first Captain America movie. You know, it was pointed out that, you know, they weren't looking for a good soldier. They were looking for a good person.
Yeah. And that was the exact same thing. It's like John Walker, he's a decent man.
Decent man and good soldier.
But he's the perfect soldier.
Yeah.
He'll do the orders. Even if, you know, like what happened with him, like he got his Medal of Honor and it was the worst day of his life, the stuff he had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the other end of he's the Captain America the government wanted.
Yeah. Yeah,
not
exactly.
The Captain America the government needed.
Yeah.
And, I guess, like, the serum still does the thing where it, like, brings out the best or the worst in people, depending on, like, their karma or whatever.
Best or worst isn't the word. It magnifies who and what you are at a base.
And that's why I think, like, Flag Smashers, like, kept on moving that goalpost because, like, Carly was, like, her worst part of her ambitions were like coming out, and especially when Walker took the serum, then 5 minutes later he couldn't control his emotions, so like the worst part of his personality came out when he killed that dude because his friend died
in a very uncomfortable but powerful moment, showing that, like, literally staining the legacy of Captain America.
Yeah, you know? Literally staining it. It kind of brings up maybe not a super important point, but like what, how much of the serum is to blame for these characters like overdoing it, and is that a problem? Because just like
it's like a plot contrived
at that point.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
that's the thing. The serum only works with what it has. It does not, you know?
Well, yeah, but, like, Walker was probably the type of person to lose control like that, but the serum might have amplified it.
But Walker's issue isn't control. It's just trauma. He is a soldier who has been through the ringer again and again. And he is someone who has given his everything but loses everything. You know, and everybody's got that point where they just go, no, I'm done. Screw this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Listen, like, we won't delve on this. It's like, if none of these characters took the serum, would Walker have killed that guy in such a horrific fashion? Would Carl be willing to kill innocent people like they have? That was just kind of one-on-one story.
Yeah.
I think that is a good question, but ultimately I think that it was within both of them to do those actions.
Yeah, it was in them the entire time.
It was
in that court scene that takes place in the next episode, where it's like, "Hey guys, you made me into this person, and like now that I'm doing my job, you're saying that, oh, now we don't like it, since, like, now you're Captain America." That was, like, one of the show's, like, that was one of his best moments.
Yeah, like, this is what you wanted me to do, wasn't it? And then they just look at him like,
if, like, people weren't recording it, they probably would have just swept it under the rug.
Yeah.
And, like, And yeah, just those things. And speaking of moral issues and just issues in general, they start to kick in the door and start going on about race issues, which
they opened up the biggest old can of worms.
The biggest can of worms. But you know, the thing is that with the way Marvel has been lately, where because I'm going to admit this right now, right here, right now, you know, for the whole internet to see, is that there are an awful lot of white superheroes. There's a lot of them. There's a ton of them. So many, right?
Yeah.
Statement there, Randy.
I know you're about to cross the line there, Mister.
No. What I'm getting at is that now that we're seeing the superheroes in general are a huge success and people are super happy about it, and to see how much it matters to people that someone who looks like them is a hero.
Yeah.
You know, and so seeing, like, for instance, I was totally... Two things I was super happy about when Black Panther came out, by the way. Two things I was super happy about. The first one is that whenever I wore this... I used to have this Marvel shirt. I still have it somewhere, but... It was a group shot of a bunch of Avengers, and Black Panther was in the group. And every time someone saw it, most people would go, "Well, why is Batman there?" And now, I don't have that problem anymore. It doesn't happen anymore. But the second and more important point is that there are millions of black kids out in the country now who have this hero that they can look up to and go, that's our guy. You know, that's my favorite superhero. I love him. He's great. And because they can...
It's getting more and more diverse, too.
Yeah, it's getting way more diverse.
And then, yeah, and that's a good thing. I mean, look at what's coming up.
Shang-Chi.
We got Ms. Marvel. We've got Ironheart.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of great stuff, and I'm really happy because... This comes to a point with what Stan Lee said, is that no matter who you are, what you look like, you know, what you believe in, everything like that, comics are a place for everyone. And so now Marvel is putting its money where its mouth is, because it literally has money to put there, that there are going to be more heroes who represent larger groups of people. And, like, I've always been a nerd, and I've always loved seeing these characters, and I've always seen them, you know, in comic books and everything like that, and whenever the new ones came out, it's like, oh, hey, that's pretty cool, or, hey, that's pretty nice. And seeing just all this diversity coming out. And so the poignant issues that they try to tackle head-on in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, especially the ones in regards to race, like Isaiah Bradley, the whole... arc involving Isaiah Bradley and his dissolution to how people would respond to a black Captain America it's amazing. It's a fantastic story.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and yeah, what happened to Isaiah Bradley is pretty much ripped out of the history books there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With the Tuskegee Airmen and Like, just seriously, there was some bad juju going on there.
Yeah, yeah, it's
the government and the military have an ongoing bad history about doing weird medical experiments on people against their consent.
Yeah, it's happened quite a few times.
I mean, like, probably more recently than a lot of you realize.
This is, if you think the concerns that they brought up, like, with other people, like, with the, anyone who has super soldier serum who wasn't Captain America being just, you know, locked away and drained dry so they can figure out how it happened. Mm-hmm. Nah, bro, that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they, flip the timeline a little bit. Like in the comics, he was before Captain America was created.
Yep.
And in here it was sometime after, probably during, not Vietnam, probably something before that.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the end of World War II.
This is definitely a high point in the show is this storyline.
Yeah.
Sam's how Sam doesn't want to take up the mantle and how he decides it's the right thing to do by the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not that he wants to take up the mantle, it's that he needs to. Because as John Walker proved, you can't just give someone that shield and expect mm-hmm. them to use it right.
Yeah.
Do you think if, theoretically, Sam said he wouldn't take the serum, but do you think if he took the serum that, he would be, the next Steve Rogers?
He doesn't have to take the serum to be the next
Steve Rogers. Yeah, he doesn't have to. Yeah, he's...
So, not even gonna, think about it. It's it doesn't even matter.
No. Nope. Whether he has the serum or not, he deserves that shield.
Oh yeah, I mean, I wasn't asking that, but
no, matter. He's talking about compensating, with having the super soldier serum, so that he has a super soldier serum and he flies, and so I get where you're coming from, Joey.
Had the wings, he would be unstoppable.
Yeah, I think Sam, especially with Sam Wilson as just a person and as a character, especially with what we've seen of him in the series, what we've seen of him in the, just how he behaves, and especially with the time that we got to spend with him in Winter Soldier, or Captain, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, is that he doesn't need it. He's not tempted by it. He doesn't feel like he needs to do that because he likes being him. His identity is who he is, and he doesn't need to
content,
helping
Steve out.
Yeah, exactly.
He always content helping others.
Oh yeah, but you're right.
He's a grade A. He's a grade A wingman. He's a grade A wingman. And it's funny. It's funny that he's a wingman and that he is. He is a that is superpower is flight.
Is flight, and he's
The
perfect wingman.
And so I feel like he's just fine how he is, and I appreciate that he's been consistent with not wanting to take the super soldier serum. That he's been, he is how he is, and
Steve could give a speech that's inspiring and patriotic, but Sam will talk to you
and help you figure out
what you're doing is wrong, and I want to help you.
Yeah, and it was, I think because Sam and Bucky, they had a lot of tension with each other, even as far back as as their first meeting in Civil War, where they didn't really get along because what's funny is that, on paper, Sam should have been 500%, hey, you have trauma, dude. I work with vets who have trauma, let me help you. But, they needed to grow together. That's what they needed to do. They needed to,
Sam
become friends.
Is what Bucky needed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, right. That was a little bit uncharacteristic of him. How he, didn't try to help Bucky. He wasn't very understanding of Bucky in Civil War. It's like, oh no, I'm the best friend now. That kind of relationship.
Well. Mm-hmm. It's no one's perfect.
Nobody is. Yeah. No. It's. He wasn't. He wasn't. I don't think he was being bad. I think it was just a crazy situation that they were in, and all that. So. But anyway, yeah, no, I did like how they eventually grew to trust each other, and I like that their growing to trust each other was like a mutual respect or a mutual friendship that ended up growing through, you know, fixing a boat. You know, yeah.
Was the boat a metaphor
for their... I feel like it was.
It's almost like the boat was a metaphor about your relationship, and it have been destroyed caused you great personal trauma.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, well, like, speaking of Bucky, like, his thing was just, like, accepting he did what he did as a Winter Soldier. He doesn't need to, what's the word? Like, he doesn't have to ask for forgiveness from other people. He has to...
He doesn't have to make amends.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. He just has to, like, realize you don't have to... It's not your fault. And even when he doesn't have, like, the words anymore to control him, it's like it still haunts him.
Yeah, no, it's still... Because he still lives with the memories, you know? He still... it's very obvious that he was in a situation where, you know, I have no mouth and I must scream for all those years. And so... No, it's... Yeah, I get it, man. I get it, you know? It makes sense to me. And so... But I do like all of the social commentary that was put into this. I do appreciate a lot of the political commentary that was put into this. I don't feel like it was unnecessary. I know that there may be people out there who are like, I want to look at my comics, and I don't want to have to think about real life issues. And I'm like, oh, you're watching a show that is based on a comic that was released, and the literal first thing you saw on the first issue was Captain America punching Hitler in the face. Get over yourself.
People who say there aren't political issues in comics have not been reading comics.
Well, exactly.
The X-Men be an allegory for racism and not be...
Yeah.
Actually talk about racism.
or even we can go crazier. Hey, you know, one of the best comics in the history of all time, The Watchmen? You know, The Watchmen, yeah, was the cautionary tale about the xenophobia and just the general state of things in the 80s, you know. Yeah. So anyway, I feel like
Zack Snyder makes a movie that misses the point. You know,
yeah.
The Watchmen movie is like all these people complaining about the politics and comics, completely missing the point.
Completely, and I totally feel like not only are we in a social and political climate that needs something like what we've been seeing, and this surge of diversity being put into from comics, yeah, being put into the mainstream, I feel like it's time, you know, it's time for people to really get to where they need to be just in general, just ways for people to be decent to each other. Because the more that we see that there are these things that are coming out that have diversity in them, I feel like the more people start to realize that people are more, that we have more in common with each other than we think. And the more that we realize that we have things in common with each other, the easier it'll be for people to get along in general. And I feel like all this diversity and all this this political stuff that we're starting to see in the comics, like WandaVision was fantastic because it was such a great grief allegory. It was, yeah, such a great grief allegory. And I feel like Captain America and the Winter Soldier, because I guess we could say that now. But yeah. But seeing it be the way that it was, you know, and how it is like this, we need this. We yeah, really do. And I really feel like the overarching message of the show is exactly what I just explained. It is exactly what I just explained.
Congratulations. We have more income. Three, yeah, white guys
We solved it. We solved the internet's problems and everything. We have more in common than we think. Let's just love each other anyway. So, but yeah, that's what I feel like with this.
This is great and lovely, and I love this conversation, but I really, really, really want to talk about Baron Zemo. And how just completely awesome he was in this, from beginning to end.
He has moments. He has great moments, and they happen a lot, and they're fantastic, and they're fun. A lot of stuff is...
He also bombed the UN and killed Wakanda.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not a bad person, but I'm saying he was a better villain than the main one that we got.
Well,
he wasn't really a villain in this one.
Well, yeah. He was more of a...
Like, he was actually on, like, the good guy's side. Like, he didn't want super soldiers around. Like, he wasn't trying to rule the world or anything.
Yeah, he wants less of them.
That's another thing that we forgot to mention. In this show, the main villains didn't get what they want. The main villains, all of the villains in the show basically got what they want. You know?
More or less. And,
But then again, this show also showed the point that maybe using the term bad guy isn't the right term for this show.
Well... You know? Yes and no. I mean, the power broker is absolutely a villain.
Oh yeah, no, that was a
and that is absolutely villain. And
spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
You can see why she became a villain. You can understand it 100%, but you can still go, "Come on, girl, you know better than that," and you're still doing this.
Yeah,
I didn't like Sharon Carter much in this show.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to.
No, I didn't like
her
character.
Like,
the way it was written and stuff, or and like what she represented and all that.
Yeah, like I like Red Skull more than I like Sharon Carter. I like a literal Nazi more than I like Sharon Carter. Because
At least at the end of the day, he was in his own way trying to improve the world. Maybe not in the way we would have liked, or anyone would have liked, but he was trying to move forward.
Well, no, it was more like...
He was trying to...
Was the no flags guy. Like, he was the, hey, like, Hydra's gonna be the flag.
Yeah, exactly. But like what I mean with like her being the power broker is the there was like no real precedent for it, and there wasn't enough of her, like, cuz they literally reveal it in the last episode, and there was no tension behind it, and everyone basically figured out that it was her anyway.
Yeah.
And so if they were going to be so ham-fisted about it, you know, if they realized, like, if they realized that, like, with Agatha, for instance, when Agatha was doing shady stuff and shady things were happening with her, and it was revealed that she was, you know, this antagonist the whole time, a lot of people weren't surprised by it because, you know, she'd done shady things throughout the thing to make it obvious, because it was like, well, yeah, that's true. We are looking here at a at some nonsense here.
Plus, her name was like two letters different than
a character who was. Yeah, exactly. But with Sharon Carter, it was just like, she's a villain, not really.
I even kind of didn't like how it's like, hi guys, I'm a crime lord now. Like, I sell stolen art, and I was like, well, that just kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, oh yeah, I hate the government because they didn't pardon me because I didn't like seek it out, I guess. It's like,
yeah,
okay,
exactly. And they're like, well, I don't need no pardon, and it's like, shut
probably
up.
Probably could have gotten one. You know what? She probably could have gone back and gotten a pardon after all this.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah, she could have. But she didn't, because I just need a reason to be a villain.
Well,
you know,
I think they even spelled it out exactly. She's trying to control a world that hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, girl, go get. Excuse me. Girl, go get some therapy. I happen to know a good. I happen to know a very good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't love Sharon in the show. We'll see where it goes moving forward.
It feels like, Sharon Carter feels like a character they were setting up for the future.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the Val character? Because that's definitely setting up for something in the future that we don't quite know what it is yet.
Yeah, Thunderbolts probably.
Which is probably the Thunderbolts, but in terms of
this is absolutely...
Yeah, in terms of the show, we're like not quite sure what's going on yet.
I wouldn't be. Yeah. I would be absolutely sure that the whole Sharon Carter thing, the Contessa, U.S. agent, all that is being set up for a Thunderbolt show. Almost guaranteed.
Or not to get ahead of ourselves, but there's going to be a Captain America 4. You know, maybe the government forms the anti-Avengers team, like the Thunderbolts, and that's kind of like the villain of the movie.
Well, they really have been underutilizing General Ross, so. They kind of got screwed over because they can't use most of the Hulk characters. Because, screw Universal.
Yep.
Wonder why he's the exception. I wonder if they had to, like, negotiate for that character.
Maybe. We don't know. We'll see. But anyway. I'm excited to see what we get. I hope we get something cool. I hope we can get the Punisher and the Thunderbolts. That would be really cool. Yes.
So
I just kinda wanna see the new stuff with the Punisher.
Before we were recording, I was kinda saying that Randy, I like this series, but I think it has, some really kind of serious issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you agreed with me. So, what kind of things do you think, the show didn't do well? We talked about Sharon Carter
a bit. Sharon Carter was one of my bigger ones. She was one of my bigger ones. She was one of my biggest ones. The other thing is that The closure for Bucky with Mr. Nakajima, I felt like that probably should have taken a little more time to get closure for that one. I'm a little frustrated that the drama that we could have gotten with the revelation, we didn't really get it. You know, I feel like
didn't need to be any drama though.
There was we didn't get a heartfelt monologue. You know, we didn't get a heartfelt monologue about that. It was all done off screen, with the way that we were introduced to the situation and the way that it was, you know, that it was revealed to us, and the time it took to build up the situation was greater than it took for them to resolve the situation, and that's my grievance with that bit. I also don't like that. I understand why it happened because it was a good character motivator, but Lamar didn't have to die.
They fridged him.
But it's okay. You know, if his death led to more, you know, more of a dramatic situation. But then my other grievance with that is that why did they need to put the scene in with John Walker giving the news to his family and lying to them?
Yeah,
if there wasn't going to be any sort of expansion on that. And so they missed an opportunity to make John Walker have to fight more demons for himself, And that was the big thing. That was the other.
He comes back pretty quick. I mean, like he's not, like he's practically a good guy when the show ends. Well, even though we know in the background he like still has a lot of issues going on.
Yeah,
he does have issues, but it was also stated in the show that he's always been the kind of guy who finds himself on the battlefield more than he does outside of it.
Yeah, but like by the end, he was doing the right thing. He was fighting alongside the good guys. He got his jaw back in a certain way, you know.
Well, he didn't get. Yeah. He got a job.
Yeah, yeah.
He got the job that is more suited to him than being Captain America.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. You know, like he's not the right Captain America, but he's the right U.S. agent for the
job. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's perfect for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did kill a guy.
I read some things, though. It's like, maybe this is the way it would happen in real life. It's like,
yeah,
this is kind of like, we have a new Captain America now. We can quietly retire you and reintroduce you as a kind of behind-the-scenes guy, you know?
Like, nope, they're just going for it full front. Because, you know...
Though I do like the U.S. agent uniform. It looks
I love that uniform.
It looks really cool.
That works.
I've always liked U.S. agents' look. Like I know that he's supposed to be Captain America, but they did such a great job with his being Captain America. But you know, it's really cool.
Well, he doesn't have America's ass.
He doesn't have America's ass. But those were some of my bigger gripes. Oh, and I think we already talked about it with the Flag Smashers, when I was complaining about Carly, where she was just like she didn't seem to have any like leverage over anybody. They just kind of followed her because
She says their catchphrase the best.
Yeah, she's the one who says the catchphrase the most.
Speaking about the Flag Smashers, I love the fact that I actually get to say this sentence.
The butler did it. Yeah. He did.
He did do that. I recognized like, who that was. But
yeah.
Then, like,
yeah.
Like,
it took me a second.
Yeah, Zemo's butler.
It was Zemo's butler.
I love it when I actually get to use the phrase, the butler did it, and it not be a joke.
Another cool part of the show, we got to see the Wakandans, the Daja Malore.
Oh yeah. They were really cool. I love how they basically reduced everybody to just low level jabronis.
Falcon know that like yeah we can't stand up to these guys.
Yeah,
it's like we should probably join in though. It's a great character moment for Walker too because it's like. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, a girl beat me or whatever, but it's like, man, these people beat me and they weren't even super soldiers.
I'm supposed to be Captain America, and I got beat by these people. Yeah, exactly.
Like, and they literally just took them apart piece by piece.
They literally took Bucky apart.
Yeah, and he was like, I didn't know they could do that. Good to know. And then and then they were like, we're just gonna give you this guy that killed our gang. Okay, cool, that's fine. And I'm like, okay, why are y'all doing that? I guess y'all are following the accords that y'all. I don't know. I'm like, I guess y'all finally decided to join the world. Kudos, you know. Instead of taking it on your own,
the point of Black Panther.
I'm glad to start a tangent.
The fact that Wakanda isn't secretive anymore hasn't really affected the MCU that much.
Well, it hasn't had a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after they revealed themselves, the blip happened.
Yeah, it's true.
And then there's 5 years of people just trying to get by as best they can. And we're just seeing the immediate aftermath of that. So, no. It hasn't had a chance to affect the MCU, but it will.
Black Panther 2.
Which I'm still very much interested to see how they're pulling this off. Because
I feel like they'll do it. I feel like they'll do it tastefully. I feel like they'll do a good job, and I feel like everything will. I think it'll work out. I think they'll do what they have to. Yeah. Because
Yeah.
So let's talk about the moment when Sam finally becomes Captain America.
Oh.
Yes.
Chills. Absolute chills.
You just see him coming in from the horizon. Just you see that shield break the window, and I'm like, yes.
Our boy.
And he lands, and he poses, and I'm like,
yep.
Yee.
I was watching with the subtitles on at the time, and like, they stopped calling him Falcon, and they started calling him Captain America.
Yep.
In the subtitles.
Yep.
Wakandan-made suit. Wings, vibranium wings, I can only assume.
Yeah, so they won't get, you know, pulled right off of his shoulders next time he's fighting John Walker.
Yeah. Cool outfit, very comic accurate.
Very comic accurate, very like, cool outfit.
Like, on anyone else, it looked doofy as hell, but holy crap, he pulls it off.
No, he looks great. I love it. He looks fantastic. His movements are great with it, and the way he behaves exemplifies why he was given the shield. There's just the way he is about everything. It's
speaking of the shield, speaking of that, Randy, I know you've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've seen what I'm about to show Joey.
What are you showing Joey?
Joey, look at the main. Look right over here.
Oh yeah, I tweeted that out earlier.
I'm like, I can't unsee it, and I'm like,
yeah, the Rob Liefeld, yeah, I love it.
It's like, thanks, I hate it so much.
I mean, first they did it with like you know, Chris Evans, now they're doing it with Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, I love it, but yeah, they
so gloriously horrible.
But yeah, so, but just Sam doing those selflessly cool things. I wonder how he was able to, you know, not have his arms break or anything like that when he caught that truck.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe this suit just reinforces you a bit. But then again, he's
like jetpack too to reinforce, like to
reinforce
himself and the wings like to stabilize and all that.
Yeah, yeah, probably. It just seemed a little quick on that. But
and I love that pose when he was carrying Carly's body.
Oh,
and like he just looks like an angel. Like he literally just looks like an angel carrying the body of his fallen.
Well, I mean, with
the wings and stuff, and I was like, oh no, that's a shot. That's that one perfect shot.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. And I like his call out too. I did like his call out to the people who were
calling the
GRC. And then why you gotta use
that phrase yet? Yeah,
you did bring it up, but then again, with the rampant inconsistencies with how the Flag Smashers just generally behaved, or just with the way that Carly was, I like the point you're making, Sam, but the villain that you're defending here doesn't. They didn't really deserve this kind of defense, dude. You were on board with the part where we want people to be together, but Carly being all flip-floppy about it, and I think that might have been a point that they were trying to make, but it was just kind of a hard thing to write. But because like he is right, and so was Carly to some point.
Might have been right, but she lost their point along the way.
Well, because like it's halfway there.
Plus, it's not that simple.
Yeah,
it's not. It's never that simple.
No. But I really liked the point Sam made. It's like you guys are just as powerful as Thanos in this moment. Like what you decide for your own selfish reasons in that room is going to affect hundreds of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Just like some mad god would have by snapping his fingers, you know.
Yep, it's all you would all it would have took you is a you know, you're a phone call away. You know, you know, it's a phone call away, a brush or a pen stroke away from solving such an insane number of problems, you know. And so it's really cool that they, you know, it's just how it is, you know. It's just crazy.
And I love how it was them phrasing it as, we're just trying to put things back to normal. You can't unscramble an omelet.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I think that's what he said. I think he did say that too. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. But
there's like one thing with Captain America 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the fact that Sam is Captain America now, but now I'm wondering what a Sam Wilson as Captain America movie is about. Because like the Winter Soldier, I mean, like, the First Avenger was a great setup. Like, you learned who Steve was. You know, he's basically, like, you know, the perfect guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, what made the other movie so good is he was challenged by the world that he was found in. Like, what happens when you take the all-American boy from World War II and plop him in this really confusing shades of gray world we're in now. That's kind of what Winter Soldier was about. What made that interesting. And then in Civil War, you kind of get into the flaws of Steve himself and his relationship with Bucky. Those two movies really had villains that weren't like, ha ha ha, I'm here to destroy the world. It was like personal villains to Steve.
I don't know. Well, Pierce was trying to kill a lot of people.
Yeah, but like Bucky, I think you kind of get what I'm trying to say, though. So I'm like, I'm wondering about like, Sam definitely isn't as developed as Steve has been, I think. In the MCU, like by the time Winter Soldier came around, it's like, so I'm wondering like, what a Sam Captain America movie will be about when Steve's movies were so much about Steve and not necessarily about Captain America. Hope all that made sense.
I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. Bobby.
Good answer.
I mean, I'll be honest, I genuinely don't know where we're going from here.
I think the Thunderbolts would be a good thing.
And I'd like to. I think one of the reasons why, I think we're one of the things that we're getting set up for, I think, and this is just my opinion, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, it's totally okay. I don't really mind. But if we get a new set of Avengers that we're working with, I would like to see these new Avengers take on this, take on the Thunderbolts. Like, I would like to see. Because one of the things that made Civil War so fun to watch was watching this group of different power sets come in against each other, and they're all fighting, and it was a really, really great scene. That airport scene is iconic, dude. It is absolutely iconic. And if we can get a whole movie that sets up for something that happens like that again, that would be just, oh, so good. So good. I'd love it.
See how it goes. I mean, right now, the MCU is going into some very strange places.
Yeah, it's true with the multiverse of madness coming out, and no, I'm hoping we'll get to see some. I'm hoping we'll get to see some cool stuff happen for Black Widow. You were saying?
It almost seems like the Disney Plus shows are kind of leading to the big Avenger mode, because like I think Secret Invasion is going to be that, like, big crossover.
Oh, I hope so. I hope it gets great.
Yeah.
But then we've also got Armor Wars coming up.
Yeah, with War Machine. Oh, man. You know, Don Cheadle is so great. I love him so much.
Yeah,
he's such a great actor.
We're going to see some more of Don Cheadle.
I'm really...
We may see some... We may see Crimson Dynamo, stuff like that.
Yeah, baby. I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm just there's a lot of things that could happen, and if they give us all new stories that have nothing to do with the comic books, I won't mind. They've established so much of a base that if they tell me a brand new story I've never seen before, I'll be totally okay with that. I will be A-okay with that.
What? I kind of like, well, I keep bringing this up, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no one likes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., apparently.
Ghost Rider. Let's get some more Ghost Rider up.
Well, Ghost Rider would be welcome.
I love Ghost
Rider. I mean, I know that first time was canceled, but, you know, y'all can come back to it. Ghost Rider will always be there.
All those Netflix shows, the character rights are back in Disney's hands again.
If y'all don't... Oh, my God. Okay, Marvel. If y'all don't give Vincent D'Onofrio a job as playing Kingpin, y'all are just wrong.
Or even more crazy, at least to me. Did it fall out of my head? Yes, it did. False alarm.
I would like to see a superhero.
Yes. Superhero. Charlie Day. No, not Charlie Day.
Charlie Cox.
Daredevil.
Charlie Cox. I thought he was great. I really like Charlie Cox. And then
Aren't they bringing him back for Spider-Man?
They better be. But no, I've complained about this before, about my feelings for John Bernthal being the Punisher. I've talked enough about that one. But
I still think the best part, like, what was his name?
Be Ray Stevenson, or I swear.
I was gonna say, well, no, the other one.
Thomas Jane?
Yeah.
Thomas Jane was okay. He wasn't Ray Stevenson. I feel like Ray Stevenson was he was Frank Castle. He will always be Frank Castle to me. I just really like his demeanor and everything like that. So, but anyway, I really hope those actors from the Netflix shows get a second lease on life, because it's amazing.
Maybe not IFS.
Yep.
Maybe not. Sorry, not you.
The Iron Fist, the problem wasn't the actor per se, even though he was a dweeb. It was just that first season was not well written.
But dumpster fire. It was the dumpster fire.
It was a giant dumpster. Yeah.
I mean, I think all of the Defenders, their roles were pretty well cast overall. Like, Luke Cage was great. Jessica Jones was great. I guess Electra was pretty good.
Yeah, she was okay.
Even though her plot line was a little weird.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, I like the Punisher, like the Punisher, even though I know Randy had some problems with some of the aspects.
John Bernthal, yeah, no, yeah. No, yeah. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Anyway, we know your opinion on it. It's well known.
Yeah, you've been told, you know. Yeah. You've been told.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I think was pretty good with a lot of really standout moments.
But the
villain, like Flag Smashers, Power Broker, and maybe some rewrites, kind of brought the overall, like, plot of it down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The bright spots shine bright. Like, I loved... we didn't talk a lot about Bucky, but, like, Bucky was great, Sam was great, Isaiah Bradley was great. It's just kind of the connecting tissues kind of prevent this from being, like, as good as any of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
But I think of the television shows that have been out for Marvel, it ranks pretty high.
Well, I think it's number two. I think WandaVision was more enjoyable overall.
Yes, yeah, but, I agree.
But apples and oranges, though. I mean, they're completely different shows. Yep, I think that's it. I think Loki comes out before Black Widow, so that'll be our next episode.
Yeah, that'll be our thing.
As with every MCU thing, I'm going to simp for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. until y'all watch it. I think it ended pretty well. Maybe not the best, but it's still, I think it ended in a good place.
I will openly admit to getting a little choked up with the part where Sam shows Isaiah the Isaiah portion of
Smithsonian
of the museum, and I just like
that was a tear moment.
Yeah, it was really good. I really liked that moment. It was just it was really good.
And
scene. No, just kidding.
And then Bucky and Sam's sister get married.
Oh, yeah, Bucky flirting with Sam's sister, and Sam's like, yeah, best step back, bro. You know? And Bucky just kind of waved them off.
With his metal arm.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So yeah, I guess we'll get to the real reason why we're here at the podcast. So
ending the podcast.
Yeah, we're ending the podcast with how we started it, and that's Pokemon cards. Kidding.
You know,
kidding.
Matt Schaub would be so much better if he had a metal arm.
You know, he would be. He would be. Would,
be that's great. My opinion.
Well, there's Girder, who always carries around a.
He does. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Girder has that. How do you know what Girder is? You didn't play those. Get out of here. You liar.
I haven't played them, but how could you not I may not have played it, but come on. It's a freaking construction worker as a Pokemon.
Speaking of movies, why don't we have a Detective Pikachu 2 yet? Come on, we have a Sonic 2 filming right now. Why not Detective Pikachu?
I mean,
because you're not high enough level for that yet.
I don't think you can handle it.
You don't think I can handle a Detective Pikachu 2 movie? Okay. All right. Thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Well, you know, we still have that. We still have that Ryan Reynolds, NPC game movie.
Free Guy.
Yeah.
Free Guy, yeah.
Only in theaters this winter, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. All right. Thanks, guys. See you around. See you guys. Enjoy.
I'll see you later.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Aloha.
We good? We good?
We good. We good. We good.
We good.
We good.
We Gucci, fam.